For the past couple of days, I've been down in the Gulf of Mexico, mostly between Houma and Grand Isle, Louisiana. Thanks to Sean Carey of Massachusetts Audubon, I took a boat ride in Barataria Bay yesterday. Sean also included me on a small plane ride over the Gulf this morning. The oil spill looks nothing like the Exxon Valdez spill. There are no longer huge black masses of oil floating in the water in this part of Louisiana, so a lot of people seem to be breathing a sigh of relief. From the plane, we could easily see oil slicks, but they weren't conspicuous unless you knew what to look for. The temperatures have been in the 90s, and when oil reaches the surface in a thin slick, it evaporates quickly. Of course, that means that the various toxins are taken up into the air. When we were downwind of oiled islands, the smell was pretty bad, and a few times while we were out in open water, we got a quick whiff. But overall, I felt no need to use the respirator I brought along. Of course, I haven't actually been on any islands that have been badly oiled, and we have no idea how much oil is still deep in the Gulf or where it may surface next. Bad as the islands are now, and as much as the oiling has destroyed the breeding efforts and possibly whole groups of adult birds, the oil on these tiny islands has an even more insidious long-term effect. The landmass of coastal Louisiana is rapidly disappearing. In just the area we covered on our four-hour boat trip, we saw that islands still showing up on our 2004 DeLorme map had entirely disappeared. Many of the islands disappear after hurricanes. The salt water that gushes in with the storm surge kills freshwater vegetation, and long before saltwater plants can take their place, the sand held in place by their roots washes the whole island away. This natural land-destroying process was for millennia matched by the natural land-building process of the Mississippi River, carrying down to the delta all the silt it picked up every year during spring floods. But with flood control projects upriver, the river carries far less silt, and thanks to channelization, what silt the Mississippi does carry gets gushed far out into the Gulf. Channelization for all the oil pipelines and shipping channels also hastens this saltwater intrusion process. Oil is even worse than saltwater at killing marsh vegetation, so bird populations haven't just lost their rookery islands for this season alone, they've lost them forever. Oil is still having a big impact on wildlife. Far more birds are dead and dying than the numbers indicate. We came upon one badly oiled yellow-crowned night heron and one badly oiled great egret. I've posted their photographs on my blog. From the boat and from the air, we could not get a good look at how many birds were oiled on the island, nor at any of the dead birds that have been documented by others. Unless people actually get out to every oiled island, there'll be no way of finding them. And every day that goes by with temperatures in the 90s, the evidence withers away. Drew Whelan from the American Birding Association, who has been in the Gulf since May and has made a lot of contacts, is still finding new horrible sights of dead and dying birds and is posting about them on his blog. I'm going to be attending a public information meeting on Thursday night, and then we'll be heading for Mississippi and Alabama to see what effect the oil spill is having on them. I'm writing this on Wednesday night, and it's been a long day. I'll go to sleep easily if I can only shut the image of that suffering night heron out of my mind. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.